Welcome back to Air Quality Matters and One Take. One Take, my take on a paper or report on indoor air quality, ventilation and the built environment. One Take in that it's well in one take and tries to summarise for you a scientific perspective on something interesting in, well, usually 10 minutes or less, because who has the time to read all these amazing documents, right? This week, we're looking at a paper that throws down a real gauntlet. It's a fundamental challenge to the way we've thought about and regulated our indoor environments for decades. The paper is titled "The Need to Go Beyond the Comfort-Based Dose-Related Indicators in Our Indoor Environmental Quality Guidelines," and it's by Professor Philomena Blyson from Delft University of Technology. The core argument is provocative but simple. Even when our buildings comply with all the current standards for temperature, light, acoustics and air quality, and even when people say they feel comfortable, staying indoors for 90% of our lives is still not good for our health. She's essentially arguing that our entire regulatory framework is built on a flawed foundation and we need a radical rethink. So let's get into it. The paper starts by laying out the central problem. Our guidelines for indoor environmental quality, things like setting a minimum ventilation rate, a target temperature range, or a maximum noise level, are almost all based on what she calls single dose response relationships. What does that mean? It means we've historically taken one stressor at a time, say CO2, and working out a dose, a concentration level that an average person can tolerate before they start to feel uncomfortable or their performance drops. We do this in isolation for temperature, for lighting, for noise, and from this, we've built our standards. But she argues this approach is flawed for three big reasons. First, these standards are designed to prevent short-term discomfort, not promote long-term health. The paper uses a brilliant example, thermal comfort. Our standards are all about achieving a thermally neutral state where our bodies don't have to work to stay warm or cool. But she points to studies suggesting that this constant thermal neutrality might be contributing to increased obesity because our bodies are never challenged to burn energy to regulate their own temperature. So what we've defined as comfort might not actually be healthy in the long run. Second, the single dose model completely ignores the fact that in the real world, we're never exposed to just one stressor at a time. We're exposed to a complex cocktail of thermal, air quality, lighting, and acoustic conditions, all interacting with each other. The paper highlights research on cross-modal effects, how, for example, being exposed to annoying traffic noise can make you perceive the air quality as worse, even if nothing about the air quality has actually changed. Our brains don't experience these things in neat separate boxes. They integrate them into a single holistic experience. Our standards and guidelines, however, still treat them as completely separate issues. And third, and this is the most important part, the model is based on a concept of an average person. But there's no such thing. We all know that, right? We're all different. Our needs and preferences change depending on our age, our health and our gender, and even what we're doing at any given moment. The right lighting for concentrating at work is different from the right lighting for a relaxing break. A temperature that's perfect for one person might be too cold for another person at a desk. So having laid out why the old model is broken, Professor Blyson proposes a new model. Instead of effect modelling based on single dose, she advocates for a situation modelling. This is a much more holistic approach. It says we need to stop thinking about isolated stressors and start thinking about the entire situation, the combination of the environment, the person, and the activity they are performing. So instead of just measuring CO2 and temperature, for example, this model brings in what she calls building-related indicators. Like, is there an operable window? And occupant-related indicators, like, are there or is this person's individual preferences and needs taken into account? The goal is to move beyond generic one-size-fits-all standards and towards an understanding that allows for more personalized and adaptive environments. The paper then presents the results from a whole series of field studies in offices, homes, schools, and hospitals that tried to put this new model into practice. They used detailed questionnaires to cluster people into different profiles based on their preferences. For example, in a study of school children, they found distinct groups. Some were primarily concerned with noise, others with temperature, others with light, and some weren't particularly concerned about anything. And the crucial finding was that in any given classroom, all of these profiles were present. So when a teacher opens a window, it might make the thermally concerned child happy, but it might make the noise concerned child more miserable by letting traffic noise sounds in. This is the fundamental challenge of managing shared indoor spaces, and it's something our current uniform standards completely fail to address. So to wrap this up, what's my take on this? This is a really thought-provoking piece of work. It's a call to move beyond the simplistic reductionist approach that has dominated building science for a century. It's an argument for embracing complexity. The idea that comfort is not necessarily healthy is a powerful and challenging one that should make us all stop and think. Now, does the paper give us a new ready-to-use set of guidelines to replace the old ones? No, it doesn't. And it admits that this new situation model is far more complex and difficult to implement. But that's not the point. The point is to change our way of thinking, challenge our way of thinking. It's a plea to stop looking for a single magical number for the right ventilation rate or the perfect temperature. Instead, we need to focus on understanding the interactions between stressors and, most importantly, on understanding the diverse needs and preferences of the actual human beings inside our buildings. It suggests that the future of healthy buildings might lie less in rigid standards and more in creative, flexible, adaptive, and personalized environments that give occupants a greater sense of control. This is a much harder task, but as this paper argues so persuasively, it's one that we need to take on if we're serious about creating indoor environments that don't just avoid discomfort, but genuinely promote long-term health and well-being. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of One Take. As always, these podcasts are not possible without our partners, Safe Traces and Imbit, so thank you to them. See you again next week.